Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio and Joe DiBiase. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
The Buffalo Bills select Josh Allen, Gregory Rousseau, Kair Elam, Dalton Kincaid.
Some of the past first-round picks of the Buffalo Bills. Some have worked out tremendously. Josh Allen. Some yet to work out very well. Kair Elam. Some kind of in the middle. Greg Rousseau. I think Greg Rousseau is a good player. Bills are going to pick up his fifth-year option. You never know what's going to happen. I saw something from Dan Graziano this morning. It said, here's the thing that a lot of fans don't really realize. No one, including the teams, actually knows how well these guys are going to play once they get to the league. It is a lot of guesswork. All you can do is rely on your intel, your information, and everything you've done leading up to the process. But we are here. It is draft day. Good morning. It's the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio, Sneaky Joe DiBiase. What's been the vibe this morning, Joe? I didn't have a chance to listen to you and Jeremy much this morning. I joined you guys a little bit earlier. What's been the vibe, whether it's what you're reading out there about the draft or fans calling you, tweeting you, that kind of thing?
Yeah, it's been a lot of trade-up debate, I think, back and forth. And also,
okay,
you know, is everyone at a point where they've got a guy that you want them? We did that with quarterback, right, in 2018. Does everyone have a guy that you want? So a little bit of those two things, but the trade-up noise, smoke, Matt Miller talking about the Bills and a Dunze yesterday. There was before that Benjamin Albright, and there have been others, I think, too. Trading up just seems more and more like the conversation. Like, should they do it? Should they not do it? Are they going to do it? Because, I don't know, the closer we get to the draft, I tend to feel like they are trying to and that they are going to do it. Bill Belichick said on the Pat McAfee show last week that if you hear rumors before, like, the weeks leading up to the draft, it's almost always agents just trying to do their work to get their guys higher. But the 24 hours leading up to the draft, those are the real, there's validity to a lot of those. That's what Belichick said. So I'm tending to think that it's more believable, the things that we're seeing this morning and even last night.
All right, well, I'm so glad that you said that's been the vibe this morning, because that's what we're going to do, at least for the first half hour today. We got a really awesome show planned for you. We're going to get with Michael Nania at the bottom of the hour. He actually hosts the Cool Your Jets podcast. A very interesting team, I think, over the last few days, Joe. The Jets, they're sitting there at 10. Could they take Roma Dunze? Could they draft an offensive tackle? It's been Brock Bowers all the way here. And then Aaron Rodgers' situation, like, what are they looking to do? I think that's a real pivotal point there for the Bills if they do want to trade up and get a guy like Roma Dunze, which would be massive. I actually have an article at WGR550.com that we can talk about relating to this, which is what it would cost to move up. I actually did the research on, you know, previous drafts, took the draft chart, put it all together and said, you know what? If the Bills wanted to move up, it would probably cost about this for this spot with this team. We're also going to have our guy, Emery Hunt, joins us in an hour. One final push from Emery to kind of talk about and ask him about, you know, how he sees these players. He is actually, I think, believe it or not, he has Rome Odunze higher than both Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers. So wow, it's really interesting when you get a perspective like that, right? So, but we'll talk about that. We'll find out why and what other options and where he could see the fit for the Bills at different positions. So we'll do that today here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio, Sneaky Jody Biasi, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. I'm so glad, Joe, that you brought up fans kind of saying, you know, who they are. Are they attached to one person? Who's your guy? That's what we're going to do. Call your shot, everybody. Here we go. We're going to give you the next 25 minutes, 20 to 25 minutes, to call your shot. But you only do that by calling us. 803-0550. What I mean by call your shot is you can call up and say this is what they're going to do, or you can call up and say, I really want them to do this, or I definitely do not want them to do this. Whatever it is, just call your shot. We'll get connected with you. Brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Now, I do have a mock draft where I have the Bills staying at 28 and taking Xavier Worthy, only because I don't do trades. I'm calling my shot, Joe. You know I've been on the trade-up thing for a long time. I think the Bills are looking to deal up. I think they ultimately will deal up. It's what Brandon Bean does. I think most likely it's for Brian Thomas Jr. once he gets to a certain spot, like maybe in the late teens, early 20s.
Yeah. Thomas is the guy I would bet right now they're most likely to take. Just the fit, the range that he's going to go in, the frequency that Bean likes to move up, even if it's just a little bit. Recent mocks and odds that kind of show that he's, you know, maybe more for the later teens and early 20s than somewhere higher than that. I think a lot of the smoke on Xavier Worthy rising on boards, and maybe not even rising on boards, just maybe we're getting closer and figuring out where teams are having him, and his numbers are going through the roof. Like, middle of the first round is becoming more and more common for Worthy. And if he's going to go higher than we all thought, then I think that means Thomas probably gets pushed down a little bit. And again, I think he fits everything the Bills need. I think the odds that he's going to be in range for them are higher than I thought they were weeks ago. So I think Thomas, I might even be willing to call him my favorite idea. But beyond that, I would guess right now, what are we? Probably 13 hours-ish before they make their pick, that he's going to be the guy they call the name of.
The thing that's happened really over the last 48 hours, Joe, is the offensive tackles have risen,
yes,
which has pushed everybody down.
Yeah,
right. That's been kind of the the consensus from a lot of the national people who are a bit plugged in, saying the offensive tackles are rising. This is a good offensive tackle draft, by the way. Every time that I do a mock, every time I look at it, there's a team that needs a tackle. I'm like, oh, you have like these three guys. Who's the highest rated? And it might just really come down to your flair, because there's definitely some guys who are, there's probably a good four or five guys worthy of first round picks. And it looks like you might get that many even before the Bills pick. Great. Do it, everybody. Go draft offensive tackles, because the more offensive tackles that get chosen, the more everything else gets pushed down the board, as you were talking about a little while ago. So there's some key pivotal moments and points in this draft. Now, I think the first key pivotal moment and point is something that really doesn't even have to deal with the Bills, but it is really interesting with the ripple effect. That's going to be number three. Are we set on what the Patriots are going to do, do you think? Is it Drake May?
Man.
Because I think it's going to be Williams and Daniels 1 and 2.
I have no, that is the team I feel like I've got no grasp, and I don't think many have much of a grasp on what it is that they are going to do at number three. I think anything is on the table. I think drafting May could be. I think drafting Jaden Daniels. I know I saw, who said it? Was it Peter Schrager? Someone from NFL Network said in the last hour or so, don't think Jaden Daniels at number two is a slam dunk. So if Daniels is there at three, that could be New England's pick. I think Harrison could be New England's pick. And I think maybe above all that, trading out of three is very likely as well. There's J.J. McCarthy saying yesterday that he thinks he's going to the Giants. He said that on the Rich Eisen show, that his best guess right now is he's going to the Giants. So do the Giants move up to three and pick their guy there. So when it comes to New England, it almost feels like everything is on the table for them. And I haven't read reports a lot this morning on them, but that was the vibe I was getting waking up this morning.
That's the first key pivotal point, I think. And then you can go to 4 and 5. And, of course, a lot of people believe the Vikings are going to trade up to 5 with the Chargers. That might happen. It would be for a quarterback. Uh-huh. I think 6 is super interesting, right? 6 is really interesting with the Giants.
Yeah.
Joe, I've heard everything from Joe Alt, offensive tackle, to Roma Dunze, Brock Bowers at tight end. You know, I've heard everything about the Giants. I really don't know what direction they're going to go, but the latest might be that they're looking for a quarterback too. And this could be trying to get up to 3. This could be staying and taking Michael Penix at number 6.
Right. Yeah. Let's see. On the odds right now, well, I guess they're not up. There was odds earlier this morning about the Giants and what they were favored for. And it had swung towards quarterback, probably because of what McCarthy said yesterday. But I'm thinking quarterback for the Giants right now, which, if I'm Brian Daboll, I think that's what I want to do. I think it buys me a little more job security if I can have the guy playing well in his rookie year. And they can move off that Daniel Jones contract. Not right now, but next year they can. And I just can't. I didn't think they should have signed him in the first place, so I was already here. But they've had to have realized, I think, after the last 12 months, that you cannot keep going with Daniel Jones forever. Like there's right. A limited timeline there. He's a limited quarterback, and you got to try to do better. McCarthy is not the prospect, by the way, that I would think gives you that, but taking a swing at somebody and moving up just a couple of spots, it makes a lot of sense, I think, from the Giants' perspective.
All right, we put the call out, and you've answered, as you always do. We appreciate it so much here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is draft day. Let's do it. Let's call your shot. I'm actually wearing if you see, I put a video out calling people to call their shot, telling people, and I intentionally wore a Yankee shirt to say, look, Babe Ruth called this shot once, Joe. So it's time for fans to call their shot about the Buffalo Bills and the draft. Let's go to Tim in Charlotte. Go ahead, Tim. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. Thanks for having me on. I saw the Twitter video, so here I am. I appreciate you
all
doing
right,
that.
Buddy.
So I got the first thing I can really see the Bills doing is just giving it all up, going to the top, getting the deal done. And obviously it takes two to tango, but I think they saw what happened to St. Brown yesterday and the money that he garnished. And then you've got Waddle, you've got Chase, all these guys. And there's really no reason not to trade that draft capital and go lock a guy in on cost control 5-year team option. Like, it just makes too much sense. Go get the guy you want. I really think that they're going to do that. If they can't find somebody to tango with, I think that Seattle, I think after the Seattle pick, I think they're probably going to end up just kind of getting stuck with what's left. And I really love the idea of an edge rusher dropping to them. I mean, you know, take your pick versus, you know, Chop Robinson, whatever the case may be, and then trading picks later to double dip in the second or third round because it's going to be cheaper to do. Trade into those spots. What do you guys think about that?
It's a really good thought. Let me ask Joe this, piggybacking on that, Tim. Okay, Joe, what would it take for you to say, okay, I'm okay with an edge rusher here? Would it be a certain edge rusher, or it would be a way that the receivers are off the board, or what would it take?
One, it would take probably Chop Robinson or Laiai Tuilagi falling. Mm-hmm. And I would need... I'm not going to get to a place where I'm happy with that pick. If they get a receiver in round 2, it will somewhat satisfy that. But it's tough too because they don't have a third. So you can't control the board as well as you might hope to sitting there at 60. The situation that scares me about, okay, you love Latu or you love Chop Robinson. Robinson I love, by the way. Like, not a lot of sack production at Penn State, but the deeper numbers, how often he wins against his offensive linemen he's up against, how good he is as a run stopper. Like, his advanced numbers are through the roof, and he tested well. So I might be willing to believe he, and the Bills would think this way because they've always drafted players like this. Okay, the college production wasn't fully there for the sacks, but I've got 5 reasons over here why they're going to happen in the NFL. All right, I'm going to buy into that. So the prospect I can get to liking, but what I then do at receiver is going to be tough because what happened 2 years ago when they traded down twice and ended up drafting James Cook was the run on receivers in round 2 went right in front of them. a bunch of guys went, and by the time they were up, all of the reasonable ideas that people thought were second-round receivers were gone. And they are not in a great position to prevent that from happening again. If they sit at 28 and draft Chop Robinson, and then you're up at 60, and uh-oh, that run started happening again, I'd like to move up and go get a guy, it's going to be harder because you don't have your third-round pick. You're not going to be able to jump, I don't think, 15, 20 spots in the second round if you want to, just because you are dealing with limited day two capital that other teams are.
Let's go to Mark in Tonawanda. Hi, Mark, go ahead.
How you doing?
Good, thanks.
I say you send everything you got and try to get whoever you want. Create your own destiny. I'd like to see Odunze, if not him, that Brian Thomas. After that, then you just got to pick who's the best on the board, I think.
Okay. Well, let's talk about that for a minute, Joe. I did a little analysis of what it would take to do something like that. He says, create your own destiny. Go up and do it. I mean, obviously, if you want to go up and get a Odunze, it's going to cost a Julio Jones type of deal. And I have that. If you go to WGR550.com, there are five teams I've identified that I think could be pivotal points where the Bills could move up because those team situations with their draft capital and the Bills and where these guys might go. Three of the trades are to identify for Brian Thomas Jr., and then two of them would be for Odunze, and that would be Chicago Bears at number nine. Here's what I have, Joe, according to my analysis, and this is not an exact science, but what it might take to get to nine if you really wanted to do it. You ready? You tell me if you like this.
All right.
The Bills would go to nine. The Bears would come down and get 28. So you'd swap 28 and nine. The Bills would also give them their second round pick, 60 overall, their fourth round pick, 133 overall, next year's first, and next year's sixth. So a one, a two, a four, a one, and a six.
I am doing that. I'm doing that for Odunze. I am. Yeah. I think it's worth it.
It would be very, Joe, this trade would be very similar to the Julio Jones deal. The only difference is Julio Jones deal, the Falcons gave up another fourth the following year, not a sixth, but the Bills wouldn't go to six. They'd only go to nine. So I adjusted for that. A one, a two, a four, a one, and a six. You go to nine and take Roma Odunze.
I'm into that. I'm into it. I think he's the perfect player for what they need. I think he is as to a sure thing for what you get. This is said by a lot of people. Some even have him ranked higher than third, that he would be the number one receiver prospect in a lot of these classes. And he's just subject to, well, Marvin Harrison exists and Malik Nabers exists this year. So you're going lower than those guys. I'm into it. I don't think you're going to get many opportunities to get a guy like this where he's on a rookie contract as well. And you might say, okay, well, nothing's a sure thing. That's true. Nothing is a sure thing. But I was looking this morning at success rate in the top 10. Like, I don't love the idea that, well, teams, they don't really know how to draft. It's not a perfect science by any means. But then why is the success rate of top 10 picks 85%? But then when you get to the lower first round, it's closer to 50. Why is that the case? I want the best shot. I want the highest percentage shot at the star receiver. And even the numbers, the history of the draft tells you, when you're in the top 10, that's usually going to work out in your favor. So I got to spend a ton to get there, but I don't know how often an opportunity like that would come around if someone was willing to trade down that low, and I would be willing to do it.
All right. I love it, man. I love the aggressiveness. Love the way you're talking today, Joe. Lou in East Aurora. What's up, man? You're on the Extra Point Show.
Hey, good morning, guys. First, I want to say I enjoy your work, multiple platforms. I think Western New York's lucky to have you. But that being said, this concept of lying season that everybody talks about, and I certainly think is valid, somehow has now evolved to where, but in the 24 hours, everything's true. And I've heard the paragon of honesty, Bill Belichick, quoted multiple times as if he wouldn't, throw something out there for a buddy. I just think the concept of Xavier Worthy jumping up draft boards is that perfect example of what I would consider to be an obvious con. 165-pound players is football still. And you think that, like, these GMs and these coaches are clamoring for a guy like that. I know he might be able to return a punt or two before he gets creamed. But I just can't buy into this idea that this is a guy. And I honestly, in all honesty, I hope Bean's the one floating that rumor, because I would love for somebody to jump up and take Xavier Worthy in front of us and let someone
else.
Here's
the thing about this, Lou. Here's the thing. First of all, thank you so much for the kind words. Really nice. But here's the thing about this, which is I hear you. I do. Like, you look at him and go, man, 165, he can't, like, he's not going to be a high-volume guy. You're going to take him there? But what do teams fall in love with? Who are the guys that always do this? Joe, you pointed this out the other day. It's speed. This guy broke the all-time record at the Combine. I do believe someone will do it. I don't know if it'll be the Bills, but someone was going to say,
that's right.
I just got to have that speed, right? That's the guy that always happens with.
So I would just say to that, you know, Aaron Maben was an example of that, was he not? And there was still a, you know, a GM out there that bid on that and took a guy. And I hope that a GM does that and bites on this guy. I just don't think he's an NFL. He's a second rounder, whatever. But trading up for this guy in the first round, I just don't see it.
Would you be okay with him at 28 for the Bills?
No.
Okay.
I don't think. You're I understand what the argument you've made about punt returns. We've had a couple of small punt returners. And kickoff returners, they've lasted for a couple of good plays,
hey,
and then have gotten creamed.
It's a great argument. Lou, I don't want to cut you off. Thank you. I'm going to get to some other callers and let Joe talk about this, because it is a good back and forth about Worthy, although I think, Lou, you are diminishing what he's done in college, comparing him like an Aaron Maben or something like that, but I totally understand the point about lasting in the league.
Yeah, I get that too. I'll say this, though. I saw a good tweet about this morning, and it was coupled with like a 2-minute video of certain routes that Worthy ran, that it's almost the opposite of what Brandon Bean once said, which was that he would root for guys at the combine to run a slow 40 so that their draft capital might drop and then they could get him. I saw this take this morning, and I don't know if I fully agree with it, but I get the logic, which is Worthy maybe even did himself harm by running the fastest 40 time ever. And the take basically was, and the video coupled with it was, look at the routes this guy's running. He is not a one-trick pony. He is not a guy that just runs straight ahead. He's not all about the 40 time. He gets open. He runs a bunch of routes really well. He runs a pretty much a full route tree. The thing that he did not include that I would, which is what makes me hesitant about him, is he's horrible against press coverage. Like, there's one spot you really just cannot line him up. But he does have a lot else other than just running straight ahead and flying by a guy. I saw someone else compare him this morning to, he's like a dirtier John Ross. Ross, who went in the top 10, like, Ross was prototypical, super fast 40, runs the go routes. And basically this was saying that Worthy's doing other stuff. He's not big. He's not great at taking big hits because he's smaller. But he's making you miss in space. He's running the slant. He's running that quick out on 3rd and 3. Like, he's doing this stuff at Texas. He is being used in other ways than just running down the field. He's being used on gadget plays. So I almost feel like he ran that 40. Everybody got an idea of what he is just based on that number. And there might be a little bit more of a complete player there than we're giving him credit for.
Let's go to Michael, all the way down in Miami. He wants to chime in on Xavier Worthy. Go ahead, Michael.
Hey, how's it going, Sal? Thanks for having me on.
Good, thanks.
At first I was a little skeptical of Xavier Worthy, thinking he's a little undersized and all for the position. But I don't know, I find myself comparing him a lot to Devontae Smith from the Eagles. Him coming out of college was really undersized. I remember back then a lot of people were talking about his size in the NFL. But kind of like Worthy, he's got a pretty complete route tree, and he's quite the football player, and I think he'd fit the team pretty well and add some good speed.
But yeah, Devontae, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off if you wanted to say something else, but
Smith's
Devontae,
thin.
I mean, I don't know. Literally, his nickname is the Slim Reaper,
yeah.
Right?
Right, literally.
Think about that. But I don't remember. I'd have to look up his 40 time, Devontae, but he's not Worthy.
It was not.
He's fast.
He was different in that, like, I mean, he won the Heisman, right?
Yeah.
Like, he won the Heisman Trophy.
He's more of the silky smooth guy that they would talk about.
Yeah.
Like, that was Devontae Smith.
He was drafted just on, like, you were the best wide receiver in college football. Like, I'm sure he could have ran anything at the 40, and he still would have went in the first round just because of how much he produced at Alabama. He ran a 4.54. So That in that way, it's very different than Worthy. I mean, he wins in other ways. But I don't mind the comparison because one of the concerns about Worthy is, hey, 170, can you take on 100-plus targets in a season? Well, Smith's one example, even though I know he's winning in different ways, he's 172 pounds, and he gets over 100 targets every year.
Let's go to Rob in Connecticut. More on Worthy. Go ahead, Rob.
Hey, what's going on, Sal? Happy belated birthday. I know it's a little late. And hey, Joe, what's going on? Always love you guys, and thanks for being my eyes, as always. I absolutely loved your idea at 28, Worthy, because of what you did say about him. But he would be our cheetah. I always got tired of watching Kansas City with Tyreek Hill and Tyreek Hill. He would be our Tyreek Hill. I love the fact that he would he'd be our returner as well. But if we do trade up, a doomsday all day, that's what I want. I think he would definitely be a great fit. But I like the Worthy. I would not be disappointed at all because we would have the speed. And I'm looking forward to it. Joe, have a great time at the draft party tonight. I don't know if you're going, Sal. I would be there in spirit thinking about you guys. And you guys have done a tremendous job on this whole draft thing. Thank you very much, guys.
Yeah, thanks, Rob. Yeah, Sal, I'll have more serious matters to attain to, but we'll have – We'll have as much fun as we can. It'll be guys, we're gonna have a lot of people. 4,000 slices of pizza. Let's go.
Woohoo!
We did the math.
Joe.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What's the could I go from one Bills drive over to you guys and then back to one Bills drive? Like, what's the time frame there? Like, every 20 minutes? I mean, I'd only miss a few picks driving, right?
You probably could make it back and forth.
Yeah, I could do it.
You would be risking, of course, Bean screwing you up by Sal's in the car on his way. He's just arising. Oh, no, Bean's traded up to 13.
I mean, if he does trade up and then goes, then I'll join you guys later.
That's true, too.
I'll wrap it up. Because like, the Bills aren't trading. Look at.
No, they're not trading.
That was
back
the thing.
Up.
There was a discussion. There was a discussion in our house yesterday. My wife's like, okay, what time are they going to pick? I'm like, 11:30 if they stay. She's like, well, what if they trade up? And then do you stay the whole round? I'm like, well, yeah, technically, I still got to work the whole rest of the round. But honestly, like, once that happens, the Bills aren't trading back into the first round. They won't have the capital to do it.
No, they
trade up.
Man.
They're that's it. The night's over for them.
Right. They already are limited because they don't have a third. But yes. If they trade whatever they have to do, the trade that you described to get a Dunze. They don't have their first. They don't have 28 anymore. Obviously, they don't have 60. They don't have their first next year. Like, unless you're trading away, there's nothing. There's nothing you're trading away. You're not getting back in the first.
No, the Bills don't have. The Bills have good draft capital in this round. They don't have a third. And Joe, I got to tell you, now I understand when Bean said at the owners' meetings about how not getting that third round comp and instead getting a fourth round comp was a major blow and it really kind of screwed them up. I'll tell you that going through the exercise of what to trade, that was really big for me, them not having that third. And I'm like, wow, like it really, you could get so much more done with a third than a fourth if you're going to trade up. And now I really understand when I look at the numbers and I have, for example, I'm like, okay, what would it take for the Bills to move up to, you know, LA Rams at 19. I'm like, oh, yeah, that third rounder is pivotal. Oh, wait, they don't have one. So now you go to the fourth, and then you got to give something else on top of that because you don't have the third. That's why it's a really big deal, and I totally understand that now for sure. All right, we're going to take a timeout. We're going to come back. You're calling your shot. We're asking you to do it. When we come back, we'll still take more of your phone calls. We're also going to have Michael Nania on. He is the host of the Odyssey podcast, Cool Your Jets. What are the Jets going to do at number 10? It's draft day here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
If you're Buffalo and you've gotten so close taking over the AFC, but you can't beat Mahomes and the Chiefs, can't do it when it matters. So you've gotten that close. Why not go all in to try to do it? I don't know that a pick at 28 overall is going to be the difference for them. I think now's the time. You know that you're going to be picking late in the first round every year because you have Josh Allen and you have a good coaching staff that's always going to put a good defense out there. How valuable is next year's pick number 28 or 29 overall? If you could take this year's first, next year's first, and get a Roma Dunze in the top 10 potentially. I think Buffalo is one of the few teams, really, where you could make that argument.
Matt Miller right there. That was Matt Miller, right, Josh? That was Matt Miller right there. He's one of the kind of big voices now in the industry, and he's kind of risen up. It's been great to see. Joe, have you noticed there's no Todd McShay? Have you noticed that this year? He's in a contractual situation where he can't really be anywhere because of his contract with ESPN and how all that works and him not being on.
I thought about him the other day for a second. Like, how come I haven't seen him on ESPN? But maybe he wasn't last year either. But I didn't know about that. Know that he couldn't basically be anywhere. I'm looking at his Twitter now. Yeah, he doesn't have... There's no affiliation, at least in his bio, from what I'm seeing.
Right. Really interesting. He was such a big part of NFL draft coverage at ESPN, but it hasn't been. And he even wrote the other day, it's a contractual situation where he can't do that. But I thought about him when I was kind of thinking about all the different draft guys. Matt Miller right there. And of course, you can always hear everything we have going on at WGR at WGR550.com and on the Odyssey app. You can also check out the Cool Your Jets podcast with Michael Nania, who joins us right now on the Western Hotline to talk about the Jets. We're picking at number 10. Mike, it's Sal and Joe here in Buffalo. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me. Exciting day, guys.
It is an exciting day. So I was thinking today and last night about, you know, what part of the draft would be interesting to talk to somebody. And I kept looking at the Jets because it just seemed like, Michael, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, for the last month or so it's been Brock Bowers. And then all of a sudden, the last 2 days, it's like, you know, wait a minute. I think they might take an offensive tackle. And how about if Roma Dunze gets there, they'll take him. How have you seen kind of the trends for the Jets here over the last couple of weeks or months?
Well, there have been a lot of conflicting rumors, reports, whatever you may see out there in terms of what they might do. The only thing that feels certain is that they're undoubtedly going offense, and it's going to be one of those three things you mentioned, either a wide receiver, Brock Bowers, or an offensive tackle. But exactly where they end up, who they might target, it still feels totally up in the air. And Bowers has been the clear favorite. I think if they do stay put at 10 and he's there, there's a pretty good chance you're going to see that just based on all the signs that we've been seeing. But one thing that has kind of been picking up, and Joe Douglas, the general manager, hinted at this a little bit when he had his press conference last week, has been the possibility of a trade-up for one of those top three wide receivers. Daniel Jeremiah had them trading up for Marvin Harrison in his March mock draft. He just put one out yesterday. He had them staying put at 10 and taking Odunze, so no trade-up. They had him falling there, which if that happens, I do think they would take Odunze in that situation over Bowers. But the wide receiver talk has been picking up. You know, the Jets signed Mike Williams, so they got that number two complement to Garrett Wilson, but they still are very lacking in depth after that. And Williams is only on a one-year deal. He's coming off an ACL injury, so he still has uncertainty. So receiver is still a very big need for them, as much as the offensive line depth is. So I think wide receiver is definitely something that's picked up. But Bowers is still very much the betting favorite, the in-house favorite. Peter Schrager had him mocked to the Jets, and he's been spot on predicting the Jets in recent years. So Bowers, I would still consider the favorite, but receiver trade-up still in play, tackle still in play, a lot of different ways they could go.
So given that you kind of mentioned the trade-up part of it, if one of those top three receivers, and it would probably be Odunze if one of them did, but if someone fell to 10, do you think they would run to the podium then to draft the receiver?
I do think so. I mean, it's hard to gauge what their Bauer's interest, what their level of interest in him truly is. I know he's the betting favorite and has been the overwhelming mock draft favorite, but it's just been hard to get a read on what they are really looking at doing, because for the most part, since Joe Douglas has been the general manager, their draft kind of, where they're leaning in the draft has been difficult to read leading up. When they, last year they drafted an edge rusher at 15, everyone thought it was going to be offensive line. When they drafted Sauce Gardner top four in 2022, most people were thinking edge or offensive tackle there. So they've kept it pretty tight to the vest. So I'm not sure exactly how they feel about Bauer's despite him being the favorite, but from my perspective, I do think that if one of those guys fell to number 10, I do think they would run that up, even with Bauer.
What about
there,
the
because of the positional value difference?
Sorry about that. What about the offensive tackle stuff? Do you buy into, you know, this could be a spot for them? This is a good offensive tackle draft, especially near the top. There seems to be a lot of momentum building for a run on that group. What would be the chances you think they grab somebody? And do you think they would like anybody over another from what you've been hearing?
I think it's in play. The Jets fill out their starting five in the free agency and trade market. They got Morgan Moses. They obviously signed Tyron Smith, John Simpson at left guard. So they have their starting five, or at least one that you could throw out there in place. But the depth behind them is very poor. And Moses and Smith, neither of them are signed beyond this year. So they have a long-term hole. They need depth. Smith is very injury prone, so you expect him. It's very likely he's going to miss multiple games. So they do have a need for both long-term and short-term, because you expect these guys are going to miss games, to protect Aaron Rodgers. So I think that's very much in play as well. I think they would prefer the pass catcher, whether it's Bauer's, just because of where he probably would rank on their overall board, or the wide receiver, just that being something you could slide in more easily in terms of year one having a role instead of being a backup. So I would think they would lean towards that. But if, you know, let's say the receivers aren't there at 10, or they don't love Bauer's or the positional value as much as people might think, I think offensive tackle is very much an option for them at number 10 if they stay there. Or if they trade back a few spots, I think they could still take one of those top five or so tackles on the board. I'm not sure exactly who they might lean towards, but definitely I could see them pursuing that position.
It's not going to happen, but it would be the funniest thing to ever happen, right, if they picked a quarterback at 10?
Yeah. I mean, Joe Douglas said he wants to be a quarterback factory, right?
Yeah, he did say that. He was very explicit when he was speaking last week. He wants to be quarterback factory. So, hey, I mean, it looks like it's working out for Green Bay. But, yeah, I highly, highly, highly doubt it.
The Jets do not have a second-round pick. How does that impact what they might want to do after number 10? Would even a trade down be possible to pick up a little extra capital? Or are they just, we got to get a guy now because this regime needs to win? We have Aaron Rodgers. How would you see all that playing out?
Well, I think one of the biggest ways it affects it right now is that it definitely hurts their ability to trade up, because, you know, with the talk increasing that they might want to get one of those top receivers, whoever falls between Neighbors or Odunze, not having a second round pick definitely hurts your ability to do that. So they might have to give up a future pick, which I'm not sure they would care too much about doing that, because, like you said, this regime, it's about right now. Joe Douglas isn't coming back. Robert Saleh isn't coming back if they don't meet the expectations this year. So I don't think, if they really do want to trade up, I don't think they'd hesitate to trade a future pick, but that's definitely something they'll have to do if they want to make a serious trade-up move. But in general, Joe Douglas has been more of a trade-back guy, a mass picks type of GM than a trade-up guy. So I do think they will, if they stay at 10, they will explore a trade down. If someone wants to come up for a tackle, maybe a quarterback still there. I do think they will explore that and try to recoup that value as much as they can. But I think primarily, it really does feel like the trade-up is something that is heating up, and not having that second-round pick will affect that.
All right.
All right.
Michael Nanya. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, what about Rodgers and all of this? I mean, is there any talk at all about him being involved in the process other than what you would normally expect from a quarterback? What would you think he would like at this point? The line, of course, I'm sure would come up, but maybe receiver, something, right? Offensively, I'm guessing would be what his preference would be.
Yeah, it doesn't really seem like he's had much influence or input from what we've heard this year. I mean, obviously last year there was a decent amount of influence. They got quite a few former Packers players in the offseason. This year they have not gotten any former Rodgers teammates. Doesn't seem like he's had a ton of influence besides, you know, just the team doing what they should do and supporting him with, you know, emphasizing offensive line, receiver. So it's definitely going to be – Aaron Rodgers will be in mind when they make the pick, whether it's a weapon for him or protecting him. But it doesn't seem like he has a ton of influence. But from his perspective, what would he prefer? I think for him it would be protection from the offensive line because it's – after how last season went, I think he would want as much security as he could get to be sure that he could stay out. Because I think – he has the confidence that he can make it work with whatever weapons are out. And he already has Garrett Wilson, has Breece Hall. Mike Williams is there. So he has enough to work with to the point where as long as he's upright, I think he feels like he can get the job done. So that would be my guess, but it doesn't – we really haven't heard anything about Rodgers' input on this process.
Michael Nanya, you can follow him on Twitter /X at Michael_Nanya. He's the co-owner and host of the Cool Your Jets podcast via Jets X Factor. And Mike, we really appreciate your time today. Thanks a lot. Enjoy today and enjoy tonight, man.
Thanks so much. You too.
All right, you got it. That is Michael Nanya. Speaking of tight ends, Joe, I put out the call for people to say, call your shot, call us, put it on social. And I've had several people tweet me at Sal Sports, trade Dawson Knox as part of a package to move up. Bills aren't trading Dawson Knox. It would cost them way too much money. They just restructured his contract. It almost guarantees him even more so to be here over the next 2 years. And Dawson Knox, I don't think, is the type of player that gets you where you need to go necessarily. He's not a premium position. Maybe a team needs a tight end, but I just looked at it. Next year, even, despite this year, next year it would cost them $12 million in dead cap and only save $1.5 million.
Yeah, it feels like if you wanted to move Knox in a deal, then you couldn't have also traded Diggs. You know what I mean? Like, maybe yeah. you could have done this with if they had not traded Diggs. But I think now that they've done that, it makes it hard. And I'm with you where I don't really think he gets you much. You know, like, who... He's a fine tight end, but does somebody want him on that contract? Like, maybe they would take him on the contract, but I don't think they'd be seeking it out.
All right, Max and Brandon, hold on. We just had a guest. We'll get right to you as soon as we come back. We'll do that. We'll let you call your shot here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It's draft day on WGR. All right, let's get back out to the phone lines. Max has been waiting patiently down in Charlotte. Thanks, Max. We appreciate you holding. Call your shot, man.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks. Hey, so really quick, back to the trade-up talk. I love Adunze. I'd love to get him. But I just want to say, we look at the blueprint, obviously, with Kansas City. People have been saying this. You know, they took Rashee Rice last year at 55. They stuck with who they had. They didn't really have that prototypical number one. And we move on from Diggs. I think it's as obvious as ever. They don't really need or want to necessarily risk it all for this number one guy. They think they have their quarterback that can make all the plays, right? We think we have them. So we know if we stick where we're at, we're going to get a guy regardless. So in my move, I would just move back a little bit. We know there's still going to be a receiver between probably, you know, 32 to 40 that we can get. If we can move right in that little sweet spot, there's still going to be Leggett, Franklin, maybe McConkie. I don't know. I don't know if that's the guy we want, but we want a guy to stretch the field, and I don't think Bean's willing to give up, you know, next year's first to move up for Adunze. That's where I'm at.
What are you getting to move back into that sweet spot?
I'm not sure. I don't know if we can get a – I mean, I think we can get a third, actually, for moving back 10 spots. I think we can get a third. He gets a third back, and then we, you know, hopefully one of those guys falls. I think they like Franklin. They met with him a lot. Okay. They met with – they had a private workout or whatever with Leggett, they said. So
yep.
These are guys that can stretch the field, and that's what we need.
I'm
if they did that, Max, I would like to double dip too, Joe. Like Leggett.
Yep.
McConkie, like guys who are there, Pearsall, I like a lot. Javon Baker, third round. Like, if you get an extra third, you do something like that. Like, I'm on board with that kind of thing. You know what I mean?
If they can get a third round pick out of it, I'm into it. Double dipping and going and adding a third round pick, I'm very into that idea. I have zero interest in them trading out of the first round, though, if they're only getting a day three pick that they already have nine of. Like, to me, yep. That is just repetitive. You've got it already. I don't know why you'd be moving back. There's rumors out there that New England wants to move back into the first round from the 32nd pick. If New England calls you up and says, hey, we want to move up five spots, or they're not 32nd, they're 34th. So they want to move up six spots. By the value chart, that's like a late fourth. And they have an early fourth. So, okay, we'll give you the third pick or of the fourth round, which is actually above the value chart that we'd be giving up. I'm telling them, yeah, thanks, but no thanks. I've already got a bunch of day three picks.
Thanks, Max. We appreciate the thought on that. Let's wrap it up with Brandon. Brandon, you got the last call of the hour.
Hey, Sal, Joe. Love the show.
Thank you, buddy.
Unfortunately, Max kind of stole my thunder there, but my shot call tonight is I don't think they pick tonight. I think you guys are pretty spot on tonight that I think there's going to be an Xavier-worthy effect. And that I think he's going to go a lot higher than people think. And that's going to cause the Bills to be unable to move up. I think somebody's going to take him probably in the top 15. And then somebody's going to panic, take Brian Thomas before the Bills can get up. So
okay. My
shot call tonight is they're going to trade down to the early second round tomorrow and double dip tomorrow at receiver, because I think they'll come up from 60 and come out with two of a Franklin, Leggett, or Ladd McConkey.
Great. I'm okay with it, Brandon. I think there's so many good, really good quality receivers that can help this team that if that's their choice, then, I mean, I could totally understand it. Joe, I'm laughing a little bit here with people talking about trade down, and he says they're not going to pick tonight. And part of the reason I'm laughing is I'm...
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Thinking about you and Jeremy tomorrow morning, what the show sounds like if they don't draft today, tonight.
If they trade out and we have a party for this night and they don't pick, I mean, it will be deflating on that front. That's for sure.
But at least you go the whole night. Like, if they trade up, the party's kind of over in a sense.
Kind of.
That makes sense, right?
Well, no, because
everybody's just partying all night.
But if they trade up, then it's a two-hour celebration of what they've just done.
That's true.
They trade out, like... There's nothing to, I mean, you could celebrate them getting another third. I guess that would be the case.
Uh-huh.
By the way, he's not even saying, Max, I guess that he loves it. I guess he's saying that too. But he's predicting that they won't pick tonight. I will defend trading down if they get a third, but I'm not predicting they do that. Bean, am I right about this, Sal? The only time I can remember him trading down in a meaningful round was when he did it twice for James Cook. And I think maybe the reason we all remember that is because it might be the only time they've ever done it.
I think you might be right about that. For Bean, that's right, because McDermott obviously was 2017 before Bean got here in that draft. But you're right, I think Bean. Look, Bean has traded up four out of six times that he's been the general manager in the first round for the Buffalo Bills. I mean, that's just the body of evidence is there that this is what he does and he's looking to do. But, again, I go back to last week. He said they really liked a deal they had on the table for a trade down last year. They were going to do it, but it just got to a point where Dalton Kincaid got to a spot where they couldn't resist going up and getting him. That's what makes it so intriguing. Our guy Emery Hunt's going to join us. We love talking with Emery. He's got his huge publication, his draft guide that's out. Today's your last day. Not the last day to get it, but last day might be really meaningful head leading into the draft. Then you can still get it and read about a lot of the guys after they get drafted, but... You know, he's just really on top of things and can kind of sort all this out. I find it interesting, I believe, and I'll ask him about this. I believe he has Roma Dunze as his number one wideout. We'll get his thoughts on that and why that is. Emery Hunt, Football Game Plan, CBS Sports HQ up next on the Extra Point Show, the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.